Before we start this episode, I'd like to invite you to support the podcast. You can support the podcast, first, by sharing it with anyone who you know that might benefit from it. Also, you can join our support group. The Surviving Alzheimer's Support Group is a safe place where we gather once a month over Zoom to talk about what we've learned about becoming better caregivers and how we can gain better control of our thoughts and emotions. Also, I've recently published a free guide on how to respond to repeated questions. If your loved one is asking you the same questions and you're having a difficult time dealing with it, this guide is for you. If you would like, you can make a donation that would help me with all the costs associated with running the podcast. To find out about all of these things and more, go to my website, www.ascending-minds.com. All right, now on to the episode. Welcome to the Surviving Alzheimer's Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Cardita. In this podcast, I share with you my experiences and learnings from the last 13 years as I've walked by the side of my dear wife, Shanna, as she progresses through Alzheimer's disease. It is my desire that you'll find joy and peace while learning to live with your loved one's disease, and not let the disease define you or your loved one. The Surviving Alzheimer's Podcast is brought to you by Ascending Minds, LLC. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. And that's probably because about 3 days ago from when I recorded this episode, it marked the 3-year anniversary of when I moved Shanna out of the house and into memory care. For the weeks that led up to it, and now as the anniversary has passed, it caused me to do a lot of reflection, a lot of what has the last 3 years taught me? What have been all the emotional ups and downs that came? And how did I get here and what did I learn? Also, about a month ago, I was cleaning out a file cabinet and came across a small notebook that was the very first time I started writing down about what was going on with Shanna and myself. This was about a year before I formally started my computer-based journals. And when I opened this up and read it, it just blew my mind as it brought me back many years into the early days of my caregiving journey. Some of the things that I started to learn back then really helped me get my head on straight. And I thought I'd share a little bit of that experience with you in today's episode. So let me set the stage. It was the spring of 2018. Shanna had been officially diagnosed with moderate Alzheimer's about 6 months from when this happened. Things were going pretty good. Shanna could talk. She was more or less functional. But we definitely saw a lot of the beginnings of the effects of the Alzheimer's. I was still dealing with acceptance. I was still upset about being forced to retire, upset about the diagnosis. And I had just been introduced to who would become my coach and mentor now for the last 6 years. And this person has trained me to be a faith-based life coach and has taught me much. And as she puts it, we've learned a lot together. I was taking her very first course that I ever took from her. It was a beginning course on how to live joyfully, how to live intentionally. And it was just what I needed to hear. I learned a few things that actually helped me get through some of my caregiving bumps and hurdles. So I just have some entries that was the first time I journaled. It lasted about a week or so. There's about 3 or 4 entries in here. I think it gives a good picture of what was going on at the time and how I was able to figure things out and make a little bit of progress. This first journal entry is dated May 30th, 2018. That's about almost 6 years from when I'm recording this episode. This is what I wrote. When I came home from playing hockey today, Shanna talked again about moving back to California and complaining that she had no friends and no pool to swim in. I call this her trifecta of unhappiness. She told me she was depressed, but she was not serious. She just was calling out for attention. What was her trigger? She was bored, and I was off living my life. In the past, her depression would last hours and sometimes days. Today, it only lasted about 30 minutes. I tried to calmly rationalize with her, and it led her to tears of frustration. Then, when I validated her feelings for wanting to recapture the good times of living in California, and I let her know that I loved her, she began to settle down. After she was calm, I offered her to try taking a Xanax and reminded her that's what the doctor had prescribed for when she started to get worked up and depressed. She said she would give it a try, and this was the first time she tried taking it. After giving it to her, I never mentioned it again. It seemed to mellow her out for a little bit. For the next hour or so, we spent some time together, and she was in a much better headspace. What have I learned? Number one, don't argue with her irrational feelings. Get her to identify the real issue and address it. Remind her that happiness comes from within. When she wants to escape and leave, remind her that she is loved where she is, and I will always love her. In the days to come, I need to reinforce my love for her, spend time with her, and attempt to get her to be more social. Being triggered and upset does no good. Being calm and loving is the key. That's talking about myself. I need to have faith that she will always come to her senses. I need to lovingly guide her back, if possible. I should never feel the situation as hopeless. Rather, in the heat of the moment, seek the Spirit for direction. No need to share these episodes with any of our family members. It's mine and our thing to deal with. And that ends that entry. I want to point out some things that I've learned in the 6 years since. I could still see I was trying to reason with her. She was still somewhat able to listen to logic and follow along with it. I'd realized for myself that happiness is a choice, and I was trying to teach that to her. I also had learned recently in this class that reinforcing and validating people's feelings when they are down is the first step in being able to help them, because they don't want to listen to anything until they feel their feelings have been validated. I was very selfish at this point in my life, and if you look at that first paragraph, I was saying she was jealous of me living my life. I think the reality of it was she was frustrated. She was unhappy with our move the prior couple of years, and she still didn't have a pool, and there was a lot of things going on that caused her to be unhappy, and I, at the time, was really just avoiding all those things. I would later come and rectify what I could. And when I look at this, I see the beginning of me starting to understand. The very seeds of me beginning to become a little better aware of what it would take to help her and to help myself. A couple of days later, this is what I wrote on the 1st of June. This morning, Shanna got upset with me, and I wasn't sure why. So I left her alone, and I went to the gym to work out. Upon returning, she didn't want to speak to me at all. I calmly asked her why she was upset, and asked her to tell me what I may have done to upset her. She paused and began to tell me, and just said,
"It's just the same old things."
And I didn't know what to make of that. Maybe it was her thinking about not having a pool, or she hates living in Arizona and wants to go back to California. That's been on her mind quite a bit these last few weeks. So I got up and I left. I didn't make a fuss. About 15 minutes later, she came to me and she apologized for being upset and explained why she was upset. She was frustrated over a scrapbooking problem. And this happened while I was gone. I was so happy that she worked through her emotion. I gave her a lot of praise for that, and a small lesson and encouragement that she could control her thoughts and emotions. What were the lessons learned today? I did not jump immediately into worst-case thinking upon coming home, and I was open-minded and ready to listen and not argue with her. I did not force her for a reason that she was upset with me. I gave her time to figure it out and express it to me. It's better to not to try and force things out of her. I approached her with kindness and love. I didn't get upset. I stopped playing the role of defense attorney. I was more concerned for her feelings than for me to prove my point or be correct about the situation. It taught me to have faith in her and not to give up on her. So in going over this entry, I can almost remember it vividly. These were times where Shanna would get upset with me, and she was getting very frustrated. I know she loved to do her scrapbooking, and at the time, she was just beginning to have problems cutting the paper or finding the right piece or the right photo. And although she kept doing scrapbooking for a few years, it truly degraded in what she was able to do. She, in the past, before Alzheimer's, has created some beautiful scrapbooks of our vacations and memories, which are priceless now. But she's created a whole bunch of scrapbooks that are just random things. But it occupied her time. And this was the beginning of her to not be able to do it on her own. And as I look back on that, it makes me sad sometimes to see something that she loved to do just slowly slip away. At this point, I was beginning to gain a little bit of control over how I saw and thought about things. I was starting to break the habit of always jumping into worst-case scenarios, and I didn't try and argue with her right away. I was learning to be more patient with her. The next entry has me setting a bunch of goals and things to try, as that was part of the class. I'll spare you the details. And then there's one more quick entry about 4 months later in October of that year. This is what I wrote. "It's been 4 months, and they have been a happy 4 months. I've applied what I have learned in these classes, and Shanna is rarely depressed. When she is, though, her main trigger is boredom. We've had a couple of great vacations this summer. We were always busy and being social, and during this, she was never depressed. When we are at home, she really only now likes to work on her scrapbooks and watch TV. She does want to spend more time with me, and I've been doing it. But I wish she could do other things to occupy her time. With the nice weather coming here, we'll be able to go outdoors more. Now we need to find some things to do and maybe to help some other people. I've retaken the class that I took in the spring, and it's really helped me. It's gotten me back to living more on purpose. That's the end of the entry. So indeed, I took this same class twice in about 5-month period. The first time I took it, I was not really into it. I took it with my son because he wanted to take it. And the second time, I took it because I wanted to take it. I had seen that it had helped me out a little bit over the summer. And that was the beginning of my journey into learning many of the things that I now teach and practice in my coaching business. While these may seem like somewhat random events that happened so long ago, they were very characteristic of many of the experiences that I was going through as Shanna's caretaker, long before I figured out how to be a good caretaker. I really struggled, and I know there is no real manual for being a caregiver. There are many books written about what happens to our loved one with dementia. There are not that many books on how to deal with things, especially in the moment. I've learned many things about how my thoughts affect my emotions and how my emotions drive my actions. And then my actions create my life experiences. And all of that is always filtered through my belief system. And I learned along the way, and this is one of the main things I do when I coach someone, I'll ask questions and help them to try and figure out what are some of the things, I call them untruths, that we believe are our reality, that are true to us, but they really aren't true. And being a faith-based life coach, that really boils down to what is God's truth? And if you understand God's truth from reading scriptures, and if you have a belief that is contrary to that, but if you've accepted it as your truth, it acts as a block and you can't get past certain things. An example of this was there I was trying to help Shannon. But I was very self-centered and was seeing everything from my perspective. I was almost having a continual pity party for myself. And she was upset and frustrated too. So we were both frustrated. And I thought I could help her by forcing her to see things my way. That is about as far from God's truth as can be. When we try and force ourselves and our opinions on other people, that is not God's way. It rather, we are to allow the other person to choose to change. I kept trying to change her. But the truth is, I can only change myself. The interesting side effect of all of that is when we focus on ourselves and we change ourselves for the better, it has an effect on those around us. They see a change. They may not be able to put their finger on it, but oftentimes, the way they react with us and act with us is often improved. And I definitely saw this between Shanna and I. As I was learning all of the things that the coaching instruction was helping me on how my brain works and how I saw things and how I can remove my untruths and see things as they really were, I was able to deal with a lot of stuff a lot better. That led me to be much more calm, much more kinder. And Shanna responded to that, and things got better. As we progressed, and I look back on all this, I see that those changes in how I saw things and how I acted, how I felt about them, made all the difference in the world. And so I just want to leave that with you, is that if you're feeling hopeless, if you're feeling helpless, if you feel like you're at your wit's end, please seek some help. Find someone who you can confide in and who understands what you're going through and is trained to help you to get through these difficult times. This might be a coach, this might be a counselor, a trusted friend, a religious leader. But don't try and grit your teeth and go through it on your own. I will be forever grateful to my coach and my mentor and my family members, all the people who I've confided in along the way that have helped me see things as they really are and helped me to make the choice of focusing on what joyful things are remaining and to stop focusing on everything that's been lost. Yes, I still get sad time to time. In fact, last week I had another bout of depression that I hadn't experienced for quite a while, a couple of months. But it reared its ugly head. But I was able to use my training and coach myself out of it. I was just feeling sad because an anniversary was coming up. And yet I would have wonderful visits with Shanna during that time. And then the car ride home, or when I was on my own, I would just have these thoughts that would lead me to feel down. So again, I chose to control what I was thinking about and focusing on. And thought to myself, yes, in spite of all these sad losses, I still can feel joy with her. And that is still true to this day. I'm choosing to celebrate what we have left. And I treasure each visit I have with her. So no matter where you are on your journey, my invitation to you is to seek and find the joy that remains and embrace it. Write it down so that you'll have it to think back on and look back on in the days ahead. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you on our next episode. The mission of the Surviving Alzheimer's podcast is to educate and inspire caregivers, family, and friends who are on their own unique journey down dementia road with their loved ones. I'd really appreciate it if you would share this podcast with anyone who you think it would benefit. And thank you for your support. Before you go, I'd just like to invite you and remind you of the things that we have to offer from Ascending Minds, LLC. You can go to our website, www.ascending-minds.com, and you can register for the Surviving Alzheimer's Support Group. You can register for our newsletter. You can also get a free copy of the guide to responding to our loved ones' repeated questions. You can find links to all this in the episode description, or you can just go to the website and look at the menu. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.